Well, there's some texts that I really quite enjoy, and there's some I don't. And I think that's pretty normal. There are some things about myself I like, and some I don't. I think it's unreasonable to expect that anything is 100% of anything. Like somebody once said, I think it was James Thurber, who once said that the best job he could possibly imagine was batting baseballs through the glass windows of the Sears Tower. And he said he was pretty sure even that eventually would get tiring and maybe even a little boring. As I was looking at the texts, I found myself, as I was interacting with the spirit around them and trying to see what is here for me, for us, for this day, for this time of the year, I found myself not so much going to the Old Testament with its unusual story, to say the very least. I remember hearing that story when I was much younger and just leaning over to the person next to me and saying, well, I guess we know who's going to be in counseling for the rest of their life. But that's neither here nor there. And the Romans passage, good as it is, I found myself in this last Sunday of June, the last Sunday before Canada Day, coming to our gospel lesson and coming back to hospitality. We talked about it just a couple of weeks ago, hence the hospitality with the little three dots. Again, those three dots are an ellipsis, which I'm sure you all know. We had to put the definition of the three dots into our glossary at the last place I worked because nobody knew what an ellipsis was. I had to define it for them. But there you go. Hospitality again. Why do I want to talk about hospitality again? Two reasons. The first reason is that this month, June, is Pride Month. This is the time that we set aside to be aware of people who perhaps are not like us, to demonstrate that we are inclusive as a culture. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody's inclusive. There's nothing that applies to everybody, I think, other than that we are all going to pay taxes and eventually die. I think that's, we talk about those being the only two guarantees in life. But Pride Month is set aside for an opportunity for people who don't know how to demonstrate that they are open to people of different orientations to express that. They can walk in a pride parade. They can do what Lydia and I and many others do, stand at the side of the parade route with a sign, the t-shirt that says, in my case, free dad hugs, and hug anybody who wants. It's a gift to them that, if I'm not careful, I'll overlook, because it seems so small. Because it's not like I'm hugging people who don't want to be hugged. It's not like the goal is to hug everyone. First of all, it's impossible. Second of all, it's rude. Don't hug somebody who doesn't want to be hugged. Standing there, waiting for someone to come over, is an act of hospitality. And it's an act of dramatic hospitality for some. For most people, it is as perfunctory as a handshake when you meet somebody that you know you're never going to see again. This happens at weddings all the time, especially to me. When I do weddings, I often know the bride and groom quite well. Sometimes I know the bridal party reasonably well. After that, these people could be anyone. I shake hands with lots of people. I know I'll never see them again in any meaningful sense. And that's fine. And most of these hugs are the same. It's still an act of hospitality, shaking hands, hugging people. It's an act that says, I'm aware of you. I'm willing to let you into my physical space, either with a handshake or with a hug, which is a bit more. And then just every once in a while, it doesn't happen always by any means, but it happens at least once every year. When I hug somebody, something more profound happens. It took me a while to figure out what do you say when you hug a complete stranger? Well, it's Pride Month. I say I'm proud of you because these people are walking in the parade for the most part. We also get some people who aren't in the parade who just say, hey, I'd love a hug, so you give them one. I say I'm proud of them because they are stepping out. They're taking a risk, particularly in the political situation that we're in at the moment in this province and in the larger part of North America. There's some very significant pushback against some members of the 2S LGBTQI plus community. So it's an act of courage. And so I say, I'm proud of you, and give them a hug. And they usually say, happy pride. And I say, happy pride, and away we go. But just often enough, most frequently with men, but with women also, with transgender people, with genderqueer people, with I don't know where they identify, just often enough, I will hug them, I'll say I'm proud of them, and they will suddenly hold on to me a lot harder. And they won't let go. And frequently they cry. Why? For some of these people, it's the first time a male person has hugged them and said that I'm proud of them. For who they are, for who they are. Not because of anything else, just because they are there, I am proud of them. The act of hospitality, as I've said before, is inviting people into your space and making them feel comfortable and at home. Some of these people have no home, at least not the one they were born into. Their families, for whatever reason, have completely rejected them, and they have no one. And often they talk about a found family, where they have put together a group of people who care for them and all of that. That's a wonderful thing. But the hospitality they receive from me, from anyone who hugs people, for those people who stand at the side and watch the parade and just say happy pride, that's an act of hospitality. It's saying that we see you, you matter, and you are in and among us. Even though you're in the parade, we're all together. It's a welcoming act. And so I'm grateful for it. Years ago, decades ago, some of you might remember, and I'm glancing at my online friends here. If you were left-handed, well, you weren't left-handed. If you were left-handed, you're rebellious and probably of the devil. And often your left hand was tied at your side and you were forced to write with your right hand. We don't do that anymore. We've understood that this is just part of the way some people are. And we've changed, and I'm grateful for that. My mother and my mother-in-law were left-handed, and were fortunate enough to not be put through that. Their parents said, no, you cannot do that. Your daughters are left-handed. Live with it. And so they were able to grow up left-handed. It gives me hope for the future that we can make at least some kinds of changes. And then we come to Canada Day. Canada is a country that is built on people coming from somewhere else to here. And that includes us. Sometimes we forget that. It's easy for us to forget that because often we're in a situation where we look around and all we see are people just like us. Well, there was a time when people just like us arrived in the first place. And were, for the most part, hospitably greeted, assisted to survive, because if you come from England, Great Britain, or France, or most of Germany, all of the lowlands, and you come over here, you think you know what winter's like. But you don't really know. You need help. And they received help. The indigenous peoples were helpful and hospitable. That relationship broke down, which is a source of grief to me and to many, to probably everyone here. And we do what we can to make it better. We do a land acknowledgement, and I know how small that is. And I know how, to some people, how trivial it is, but it's a reminder every Sunday that we are on land that other people cared for till we got here. And then the other side of that is, it didn't just stop with our ancestors who came. Canada has been a nation of people coming in for its entire history, and often has been wonderfully generous to the people who came. Not always. We made mistakes. Prejudice is prejudice. It's all over the place. I don't want to look at Canada through these rosy-tinted glasses and say we were wonderful and we were all of these things. We were the end of the Underground Railroad. Yeah, well, not when we still kept slaves, which we did for a very long time. Canada is not without stain in its history, of course. But what we're seeing today is that Canada is willing to be open to people's coming. Even yet, we haven't closed our borders. We haven't said, this is enough. We only want people to look just like us. We continue to invite people who don't look like us, who don't believe like us, who worship in completely other ways or no ways at all. And one of the things that makes Canada special at its best, and on Canada Day, it's like a birthday. You know, you don't bring up what's wrong with your brother on his birthday. Well, we did, but there were three of us and we were competitive. Generally speaking, adults don't bring up things on a birthday that, you know, don't need to be brought up. Instead, we look at what's good. We look at the good things. And I look at Canada that has been hospitable to people in my own circle even now. My grandfather was born in Norway. His brothers, my great uncles, were born in Norway and came over here and made a life for themselves that was satisfying and rich and full. And people are still doing that today. We're not doing it as well as we could, of course. There's still prejudice. There's still people who say, we only want people who look like us or believe like us or have enough money like us or whatever it is. There's always a reason. It's never very important. But those people, they're not the majority. Most people I know, most people I interact with, most bigots I know, when you ask them for a while, they'll talk about their friend who came from Delhi, who came from Hong Kong, and they're just great, not like the other ones. And I bite my tongue because I just bite. Well, I'm not going to change their mind at that point. We have opened our hearts, our country, our resources, all of those things to these people. And yes, some of the most significant success stories in Canada are of people who are first-generation Canadians who have come and done extremely well for themselves and for us. But we didn't let them in because we knew that was going to happen. We invited them in because they needed to come in. Refugees, people who are afraid of being ill-treated or perhaps even physically assaulted or imprisoned and worse in their own countries, come to Canada where they know that won't happen. And as Canada moves into the middle part of its second century, there's lots we could fix, there's lots we could do that would be better. But we have done well in many places, in many ways. We are a well-regarded country. And that comes not because of our leadership at the top, although that's certainly important. It comes from the people who come to visit and say, those people, they're as nice as I heard. They're as nice as their reputation. They're pleasant, they're welcoming, they're all of these things because we are a hospitable culture. Not perfect at it, but overall, Canada has created a world that says, come and visit, come and stay if you like. And we will accept you as you are. We will do our best to make you feel at home. We will convince you that winter is not hell, as my friend from the East Coast, or the East part of Africa, when he arrived at Lethbridge in January, Oh, I can't even imagine. But we invite people here and say, we want you to be here and be comfortable and use your gifts and let us use ours to help you make things work. And we do all of those things because that's our culture, perhaps. But for those of us who have this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we do it because we know that God values hospitality almost above everything else. As I've said before, you can go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you will find over and over and over again God's judgment against inhospitable people and God's demonstration of pleasure with people who welcome the stranger, who care for the widow, the orphan, not just the people they know, but whoever needs care. And Jesus does the same. And I like the translation that Bev used. It's okay to start small. Giving a cup of water to somebody who needs it is an act of hospitality done in the name of God, whether you say it out loud or not, but done because of who you are, is an act of hospitality. Hugging a stranger, welcoming a newcomer, whether they're just new to town or they're new to the country, being hospitable is something that God values always. So, hospitality again? Yes. I thought if we're going to take a month off, the last thing I want to have us thinking about is some kind of weird judgment thing. I don't even know what it would be. But I wanted to talk about hospitality, the hospitality that I received the first time I walked into this congregation all those years ago, the hospitality I see you extending to new people, and the hospitality that I know we do outside of this, the kindness we extend to strangers just because they are. They're not a project. They're not a problem to be solved. They're a person. And they need us to welcome them. And we do. Amen.